Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hello, Nick. How
What's
are you?
What's going on, guys? How are we doing?
Hi, Nick. We are doing great. Doing great. We just talked to Jim Trussell, former Ohio State head football coach, and obviously we're into the Notre Dame-Ohio State game that's coming up on Monday. Give me your thoughts on this game, and I mean, how does a national championship for college compare to like a Super Bowl when it comes to betting?
Well, nothing's like the Super Bowl, but it's obviously going to be a game with a massive handle coming up on Monday night with Ohio State and Notre Dame. And guys, the latest line movements in the game has actually been towards the underdog Irish, where Ohio State was close to a 10-point favorite at points. Now Ohio State is an 8.5-point favorite. So the Buckeyes are still big favorites in the game, but maybe it's a little less than some people thought this was going to be. Totals hanging out at 46.5. Now, I think I've said this with you guys recently. I have Ohio State to win the title. I have Ohio State over Notre Dame in the title game. It's called an exacta matchup that I placed a while back. So I'm sitting pretty here. I just need Ohio State to win. So I'm not going to bet the game. I have money on Ohio State already. My thought is, I think we're going to hear a lot of people make the case for Notre Dame keeping the game close leading up to kickoff on Monday night. And Notre Dame does have the better head coach. Like, Marcus Freeman, like, it looks like he could coach in the NFL at this point now. And, like, Ryan Day's done a nice job getting Ohio State to this point after the Michigan loss. But, I mean, I think even, like, the biggest Ohio State fan can admit, like, they probably hate Day because he lost to Michigan, that Freeman's the better coach, that Notre Dame can maybe keep the game close. I don't see it like that. I don't think this is going to be Georgia-TCU a couple years ago, like 65-7. I don't think that's what it's going to be. Like, Ohio State is as good as that Georgia team, I don't think, and Notre Dame's not as bad as TCU. But I do think this is going to be a double-digit win for the Buckeyes. I like Ohio State in the game. I think Ohio State's going to win the national championship.
What makes you say Marcus Freeman's a better coach than Ryan Day?
Well, I think, you know, when we look at the on the balance of Ryan Day's career, right? The idea of Ryan Day winning the big game has not really come to fruition. And Ryan Day for most of this season, and I think we could even point to the Texas game as being evidence of this as well. They're big favorites in that game. It's like Ryan Day is driving a Ferrari, and instead of like actually driving fast, he drives it, I don't want to insult, I don't know, what's like a crap, Ford Pinto, whatever. Like, he drives the car like it's not a Ferrari. And it felt like in the first two playoff games, right, against Tennessee and Oregon, he goes, oh, you know what? You know, we're in a Ferrari here, like, let's put the pedal to the metal. And they blew out Tennessee and they blew out Oregon. Unless we forget, and I don't, because I needed Ohio State to win against Texas, if Sark doesn't have his mental meltdown down by the goal line and call that ridiculous toss on second and goal, and then Sawyer doesn't have the strip sack and fumble return touchdown, like, that game's 21-21, and who the hell knows what happens from there. Like, and maybe Ohio State doesn't make it here. Now, compare and contrast with Notre Dame, right? A team that is obviously not as talented as Ohio State and now has found its way to the national championship game, lost to Northern Illinois early in the season, pulled itself off the mat from there, and has been awesome since then.
What kind of a coach at a big school like Notre Dame loses to a MAC school?
Well, sure, but that my counter to that would be, you are right about that. They lost early in the season and dominated everyone from there. I feel like you have an issue with my Marcus Freeman better than Ryan Day.
Actually, no, I don't. I think it's really interesting, though.
Oh, I mean, well, how about this for evidence? Does any NFL team want to talk to Ryan Day for their head coaching vacancy? NFL teams want to talk to Marcus Freeman. Like, that should be the end of the argument. Like, Ohio State's better. I want Ohio State to win. I win money if Ohio State wins. If you made me pick, like, a coach, one of those two guys, like, to save the universe, I'd take Marcus Freeman. I wouldn't even think twice about it.
If Ohio State blows out Notre Dame, does that make you change your mind? What would
they
make
should?
You,
they should blow them out.
Well, what would make you change your mind?
Who put that program together?
This run. So there it is. We talked about this
which is fine, by the way. Like, who cares?
Exactly. Yeah.
It's kind of a historic run, though, with the way they beat up on teams that are in the top 10, though. The guy's almost got 70 wins.
Like,
he'll have his 70th win if they can win this game on Monday.
I think Ohio State, I don't want to turn this into Ryan Day sucks. That's not what I'm saying.
Too late.
But again, like,
it's
please.
It's because you're so adamant in the way you say it. That's why.
Well, I mean, but it's true.
But I'll be honest with you. It's what makes you great.
Because you
Listen,
people can disagree. Like, this, reasonable minds can disagree. I don't have to be right. I think I'm right about this. Ohio State's better than Notre Dame. Ohio State, and this is not an insult. Ohio State's the best team money can buy. That's not an insult. They're playing by the rules. Like, these are the rules. They're playing by them. They are fielding the best team. Period. Right? So it's not an anti-Ohio State thing. But who's a better actual football coach? Like, to all the Ohio State fans out there that are listening, I want your team to win. You all were ready to run this guy out of town with pitchforks when they lost to Michigan in the season finale. And now, because of what's happened here, now it's all of a sudden, this guy's the reincarnation of Jim Tressel or Woody Hayes? Like, come on. Like, sorry. Like, that's not what this is. They're the best team. They should win. He's not the best coach. I think all of those things can be true. That's my opinion. Reasonable minds can disagree.
That's why we love you, man. That's why we love having you on the show. Oh, all right.
Like, does anyone think Ryan Day is as good a coach as Urban Meyer or Jim Tressel or Woody Hayes? Does anyone think that?
I just think they're different coaches. I just think Ryan is in a no-win situation in some of this stuff. And I listen to him every week. I mean, you could sit here and say, well, Marcus only had 10 guys on the field the last time they played Ohio State, too. How does that happen, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that cost them a game against Ohio State. So
that is very fair. Also, Notre Dame was how many point underdog in that game and could have won potentially at the end?
Right, and then you could take the argument when Ohio State beat Miami in the national championship. What kind of an underdog? And so that makes Tressel a big. I get it. I actually have no problem with what you're saying. I just love the way you say it. Because it's just the conviction you have on all that is amazing. But then,
very Menigan-like.
Yeah, it's very Menigan-like. It's awesome.
I don't know who
though.
Menigan is, but I feel like I would like him.
It's
like
Dan. Him.
It's me,
Dan.
Buddy.
Yeah, it's Dan. Yeah,
it's me.
I never knew your last name, but Dan, I like that very much. Yes.
All right, let's get to the NFL.
Hey, wait a minute. Are you going over? By the way, in the game on Monday.
If I had to, I would bet the over in the game. But okay. Like I said, I need Ohio. I would very much like for Ohio State. That my rooting interest is Ohio. I just need they can win. This is not the BCS. I need Ohio State to win by one or by 70 or anywhere in between, and I will be a very happy camper on Monday night.
Let me give you one other one on Monday night, too. Because it's a national championship game, but I can't imagine they're anywhere near it. How do prop bets get blown up in a game like this? I can't imagine it's like the Super Bowl, but I'm just curious.
No, not like blown up, no. But yeah, like, if for the average college football game, there's not a ton of interest, but I'm on BetMGM right now.
Uh-huh.
So you could bet the receiving yards for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 players. This is an NFL prop menu that you have for the national title game on Monday night. So yes. Now, I don't think the volume will be as high, obviously, compared to the Super Bowl, but like you can bet like Aeneas Williams for Notre Dame. How do you pronounce the Scott, the Samoan guy on Ohio State?
Yes.
The guy with the long hair?
Yeah, the tight end, yes.
Who if they threw the ball to him one more time against Texas, I was going to throw something into that. That's why Ryan Day sucks. Because they have all these NFL wide receivers that were throwing to the ball to this tight end who
they
runs a 5-2.
They couldn't get the ball to Jeremiah Smith. He only had 3 yards in the game. I was just like, wow, they did that without being able to get the ball to Smith.
Yeah, it's almost like the coach isn't that great. Everyone thinks Jeremiah Smith is Randy Moss incarnate. One catch for 3 yards in the biggest game of the season. How does it make sense?
They just need to get the ball near him, and the kid can catch the ball. That's how good he is. All right, let's talk about the NFL, because I got a lot of folks that are hanging on for your word on this. Walk me through the weekend. Let's talk Texans-Chiefs. What do you think of this game?
All right, so I think the Chiefs are going to win. I like Kansas City as a teaser leg. There is currently no other leg to pair them with. So if people want to tease, I'll be very quick on this. If you want to tease games in the NFL, the rule of thumb, you want to capture 3 and 7, so you win on both numbers. You do that with Kansas City, 8.5 down to 2.5. So if the Chiefs win by 7, you win. And if they win by 3, you win. The two numbers that land the most. Now, as of right now, there's no other leg to pair them with. Detroit was available earlier in the week. Baltimore was available earlier in the week. Now the Ravens are favored. So if we see the Commanders get bet, which won't happen, you could tease Detroit to 2.5. I would like that. If the Ravens go back up to +1.5, I would tease them. As it stands right now, likely, if I had to bet the game, actually, I'd take the points with Houston. I think it's likely to be like a Chiefs, let's say, like 7-point win, 4-point win, something like that. I don't think the Chiefs will blow them out. If I had to bet, I would take the points with Houston. I think the Chiefs will win and advance to the AFC title game.
Is there anybody that you think, okay, this is the team that nobody's thinking of is going to win the Super Bowl out of the remaining teams, but you would think might be a decent wager?
Well, I'll tell you guys, and there's a way to bet this. I disagree with what I'm about to say. I like Kansas City. A lot of smart people that I deal with and talk to, people that like win money betting, which doesn't mean that this bet's going to win. Just like my ears perk up when people say this stuff to me. And I am on the other side here. I like Kansas City. A lot of really smart people think Baltimore is going to win, that this is going to be the Ravens' year. Now, Baltimore is +450 to win the Super Bowl. In lieu of that, I would rather bet Lamar Jackson +550 to win Super Bowl MVP. And if you, I would say anyone out there listening, if you think the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl, you agree with what I said there with those people, their opinion, and you, I would bet your Ravens Super Bowl MVP stuff now, because they will be, if they get there, they will have beaten the Bills in Buffalo and the Chiefs in Kansas City. They will be huge favorites against whoever they play. Not like huge. If they play Detroit, they're not going to be a huge favorite. They'll be favored. And all these prices are going to get nuked. So if Baltimore would be my answer, they're the fourth choice on the board. And instead of betting Baltimore to win, I would take the better price and bet Lamar to win MVP.
All right.
Nick, we're running out of time here. So just quick, tell me the winner. I just want the who you like in these games real quick. Commanders, Lions.
Lions will win. I'm not going to bet the game. I think that Washington could potentially backdoor the game. No bet for me there. If you are going to bet Lions team total over. I think they could score 40.
Rams-Eagles.
I'm going to bet the over in the game, guys. I want it to come down to 43.5. It's at 44 right now. So over 43.5, pending no terrible weather. There is some potential snow expected in both games coming up on Sunday. So let's just make sure the wind's not going to be terrible. My sense is the Eagles will get bet in between now and kickoff. I would be more apt to take a big number with the Rams than lay it with Philadelphia. So let's say like Rams +6.5 would be a bet for me. Make me pick the winner of the game. I think Philly wins a close one.
All right, we got to roll. Thanks, man. Appreciate your time.
And just real quick, yeah. I think the Ravens will beat Buffalo on Sunday. That is my favorite bet of the week. I love the Ravens. I think they might win by 10. I feel very strongly that the Ravens will beat the Bills, and then I think Kansas City will beat Baltimore in the AFC Championship game. But again, like my favorite NFL bet for this weekend is Ravens to beat Buffalo on Sunday afternoon.
How about that? Say goodbye, my friend.
Wishing everybody minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck, and let's go Ohio State. Let's go Buckeyes. And let me tell you, Ryan Day in the pantheon of great coaches if we win this game coming up on Monday night.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Poor Ryan Day, man. That guy needs a friend.
It was just so, Jeff, he was just so vehement about.
Oh, he was cranked up.
I mean,
man.
Marcus Freeman is 10 times, was greater coach than Ryan. I'm like, wow, man, you're really on that pedestal. I don't have a problem with it.
You're fired up.
So, we were just talking to Nick Kostos. If you missed any of the interview, you can always hear that on the Odyssey app. Want to get a hold of us? 216-474-0092. Or you can always do it on social media at CLE Talking Heads.
Ryan Day, he needs a hug, man. Everybody's on this guy. And he's got his team one win away from a national championship. I think he does a nice job.
Jeff,
I really do. And I think he could be a really good NFL head coach.
Is it different if they lose to Michigan in week 3?
Andy, Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois.
I know.
And they can win the national championship, and nobody's going to care. that they lost to the Huskies.
But they don't play Northern Illinois every year.
Cindy Crawford's alma mater, by the way.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that. Would it have mattered? Dan, would it have mattered if...
No, not in...
Ohio State lost to Michigan in week three.
Not in this situation, because it's Ohio State, Michigan, and some Buckeye fans, that's the beat all
end all. So people would have sold their tickets week four for the rest of the season. No more. It wouldn't have gone to any more home games.
I wouldn't have been the least bit surprised.
People are dumb, Andy. I don't know. I chalk it up to that. People are irrational. People are silly. Sure, wouldn't shock me.
It's a
it was week three,
world.
They'd lose their minds. People are irrational.
And they will be irrational if they lose on Monday. If Ohio State loses Monday night, they will be irrational, and they'll be calling for Ryan Day again.
Right. Well, I mean, again,
the win over Texas will mean nothing.
People will want Ryan
Tennessee,
Day fired if
Oregon,
he loses to Notre Dame.
You beat the number one team in the country. That doesn't matter either.
You made it all the way as far as any college football team can make it.
Without
winning a championship if they don't win. Why would you not want that guy back?
I mean, we live in Cleveland. If the Browns lose week one and the quarterback looks mediocre, they will be asking for the backup. People are irrational.
That's fascinating.
I don't know.
I've been saying fascinating too much.
It's all right. He's one win away from 70. He's one win away from 70. Let's get ourselves a quarterback for the Browns.
You want to?
I'd love to.
Baskin and Phelps present.
All right, so tell me again how this is not the same old Browns.
Let's find us a quarterback.
We're doing a little deep thinking on this one because there are scenarios and juggling that would have to happen for this. But I think this is, I'm going to use it again, the fascinating storyline in the offseason in the National Football League. And it's what happens in Minnesota. We've already talked about Sam Darnold. If Minnesota decides that Sam Darnold deserves a contract extension there and they're going to give him a new contract or even franchise him for a year, what will they do with J.J. McCarthy?
What will they do?
What will they do? What will they do? There are people who have already been screaming. I know national commentators, Dan Orlovsky at ESPN, Dan went on the air the other day and said the Cleveland Browns need to trade either the number two pick or Myles Garrett for J.J. McCarthy. I thought, I don't know if Myles is a little much, but I get it if you think you have your franchise quarterback. But if I'm the Browns, and I think that J.J. McCarthy is a better quarterback than Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, or anybody else that might be coming out, Jalen Milroe, then trading the number two pick for J.J. McCarthy sounds like a really good idea, doesn't it?
Yeah, if you think this year's quarterback draft is not worthy of it.
If you think McCarthy ranks higher than any of those guys.
That's correct, yes.
Then why wouldn't you if you were the Browns? Because what would you have? You'd have a guy who's on his rookie contract still, which gives you financial flexibility. You could sit there and get your quarterback of the future at a reasonable price and still have Deshaun Watson's contract that you can deal with.
True.
And pay it off because you're not having to pay another quarterback a whole lot of money. Now, the question is, do you think J.J. McCarthy is that good? The Vikings did. And remember who drafted him? Kwasi Adofo-Mensah, former right-hand man of Andrew Berry. He's now the general manager of the Minnesota Vikings. That doesn't mean he's going to give his old team a deal. In fact, maybe anything. But what we do know is there's a very open line of communication there between the Browns and the Vikings front offices. J.J. McCarthy is a young guy. He's 21 years old. He has undergone two knee surgeries since tearing his meniscus over the summer. They're not sure when he did it. They don't know if it was before anything, if it was in the preseason. Whatever. They don't know when he did it. All they know is he was experiencing some discomfort, and he had it checked out, and he had a meniscus tear. He had surgery. When he was coming back through his normal rehab and it was going really well, they noticed a little bit of swelling in his knee. They checked it again, decided they needed another surgery because they thought they had time on their hands because he wasn't going to play until the beginning of next season anyway. So that's why they had the second surgery. In August... So McCarthy's there, right? And Sam Darnold's there, and Sam was signed to be either the bridge quarterback or the backup or whatever he was signed to be. Kevin O'Connell, Vikings head coach, said this. He's done enough in training camp to demonstrate that we have our young franchise quarterback in the building.
Hmm.
So the Vikings thought he was the guy.
Okay.
And then he got hurt, and Sam Darnold becomes the guy. This means nothing. He played in one preseason game, was 11 of 17, 186 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. Watch the film. He looks pretty fun. At Michigan, really good. 49 touchdown passes, 11 interceptions. Completed 72% of his passes the year that the Wolverines won the national championship. What do you think there, Mr. B?
I'm just not... coming out of college, I wasn't sold on J.J. McCarthy, and I'm still not sold on J.J. McCarthy. I don't know. If the Browns are truly believe that he is better than any... I mean, even if you go back and look at what things folks are saying about McCarthy ahead of the combine last year, I mean, even after the combine, I mean, he still feels very much like a 50-50 quarterback coming... Yeah, that's going to get the opportunity to play.
He was taken ahead of Bo Nix.
Yeah,
Bo Nix worked out for Denver.
Mistake. Right?
How do you know? You can't say mistake because we don't know what J.J. McCarthy is.
I don't know. As of right now, the dividends that are paying off, you would say Bo Nix, wouldn't you?
Well, I don't think you can say that yet.
You see, I don't think you can say anything about J.J. either. I didn't think you...
If you're going to go with that premise, then Caleb Williams was a mistake at number one because Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels were better.
And that's a possibility. That could be true.
It could be.
Absolutely.
But we don't know that yet. In fairness... You got to let McCarthy play. You got to let Caleb Williams get a little more time with hopefully a better, you know, supporting cast around him, better coaching, everything else. You know, Michael Penix was taken ahead of J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix. If you're the Browns.
I'm very meh on J.J. McCarthy, I'll be honest with you. But I'm meh on pretty much every quarterback, on all the quarterbacks coming out. This just feels like a meh year. It's just not... No one, you know, Peyton Manning's not walking through that door. He's not.
I love looking at draft profiles of guys from years gone by. And I always go back and kind of reference them and see what they thought at the time. And doesn't mean they're right, but I always think there are some really good observations. NFL.com's draft profile on J.J. McCarthy had his prospect grade as a pretty good one. With the line good. That he'll become a good starter within 2 years. So he's already been there for a year.
Right.
And he was basically ranked fifth among the quarterbacks, which I think is where he was drafted fourth, I guess. But what they said about him was they thought he was around one pick, and it was Lance Zierlein who does a lot of stuff, and Lance said this. First two words, enigmatic quarterback, lacking the measurables and the splash throws associated with early round quarterbacks, but possessing elements that require more study and consideration.
Sports Illustrated, he's very far, this was before the draft, very far off from being considered a top three quarterback prospect in last year's draft. An AFC executive had told Sports Illustrated, JJ's not getting in the top three, no way. That was said before the draft.
Well, he didn't.
Right.
But he was the fourth quarterback off the board.
Another NFL executive questioned McCarthy's size, saying he's a stretched-out Bryce Young. This is all in a Fox News story. Fox Sports story, sorry. I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe he's a great quarterback. Maybe he's going to help somebody get to the Super Bowl. Maybe he's going to help Minnesota get to the Super Bowl. I don't have this overwhelming feeling either way about him.
Okay, let's do this. Let's take all of the other evaluations out of this because ultimately they don't matter. There are two things that matter here.
Okay.
What are the Minnesota Vikings going to do?
True. True. Okay.
That's first and foremost. And if they bring Sam Darnold back on a multi-year contract, why would they keep J.J. McCarthy?
I don't think they will.
I don't think they will either.
But I also don't think they're going to bring him back on a multi-year contract.
I don't know that. Neither do you. I would think that they let Sam Darnold walk because they're going to make J.J. McCarthy their guy.
Yeah. I would assume
that's what's going to happen here.
Yep.
However, if by chance they bring Sam Darnold back, the question if you're the Browns, do you value that guy enough, A, more than, let's say, all but one quarterback in the draft. Let's assume Tennessee takes a quarterback at number one.
Okay.
Let's just assume because they need one.
They take Shador.
And, or maybe they do.
Okay.
You know, so you like J.J. McCarthy better than Cam Ward and blah, blah, blah. And do you think McCarthy is worth the number two pick in the draft? And if you do, well, by gosh, you get on the phone and you make that trade right now. Right now. If the Browns evaluate him to be the top quarterback in this draft or perhaps the number two guy in this draft. You know, let's say the Browns really like Cam Ward, but let's say he goes number one.
I know you shouldn't do this, but this is something that I think we would have a conversation. You would say you could do this. Is he worth eight picks better than he was when he was originally drafted?
Yeah, might be. Forget the picks. Do you think he can be your starting quarterback for 12 years, and do you like him better than anybody else that you could take there at number two? If he matches those criteria, you do all you can to make that trade if the Vikings decide to move on from him.
All right, answer that when we come back. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to talk about J.J. McCarthy because we were just talking about it. And the question on the table right now is, would you trade the Browns number two for J.J. McCarthy?
And it might be.
Let's start there.
It might be.
Would you?
Let me throw a however on this.
Okay.
If the Browns think that he is the – if the Titans take a quarterback – if the Browns think McCarthy is better than anybody else in the draft and think he is a good enough prospect that he could be their quarterback here for the next decade and solve that problem, I would trade the second pick in the draft for him in a heartbeat. But it will come down to the evaluation of the Browns. Do they think he is a good quarterback? Did they have a good grade on him last year? Did they like him? Did they think? And I would assume they'd have to do a little digger deeping because I would also assume they didn't really go out and evaluate quarterbacks last year. So I would think they have a lot of work to do. I would think they have to be really busy with that. But if they deem him to be better than anybody in the draft and a better solution than signing a veteran, bringing in a guy like Cousins or fill in the blank, then yeah, financially, Andy, it makes perfect sense. What's the best investment in the National Football League? A good rookie quarterback who can play under his rookie contract. So you would have him under contract for the next 4 years. That's pretty good.
Here's where I'm at on this whole thing, okay? I don't want them to pick a quarterback at number two. Whether that
why do you not?
I don't feel it. Like I'm. You know, we've kind of looked at the field that's out there. I don't think J.J. McCarthy is going to be anything better than maybe what might be out there that you might want to pick at number two. I would rather hang on, bring in a veteran free agent, draft a quarterback maybe outside of the top two. I'm just not in love with any of these quarterbacks. And so, like, when you say...
If you draft one after two, you can't bank on that guy ever being your quarterback of the future.
I'm not banking on the guy they're picking at two to be my quarterback of the future.
If you do draft one at two, he's clearly your quarterback of the future. So if they decide to go that way.
You're
not going to take him on a lark, right?
No, I feel like the edge rushers that are out there are better and a more quality. There's more quality at edge rusher than there is at quarterback this year.
You know why?
And I think you can probably get a player that can be here for 10 years. And if you really want to try to come back up, man, you've got five picks in the top 103. You could probably package something to get back in there. Or maybe you think you can get that edge rusher not at two, maybe a little bit later. So then maybe you drop back and pick up some more picks. I'm not feeling it on a quarterback. Go ahead.
There are more really good edge rushers in the National Football League than there are really good quarterbacks. So if they think they can get a really good quarterback at two, you have to do it. Now, that's all
so
if.
That's just said if. Everything that I needed to hear. I don't think they can get a really good quarterback at two.
Well, and that, and
that's my
that's,
whole premise.
That's fair. That's real fair. They might not be able to. And again, I'm not a guy who breaks down tape. I'm not that guy. Okay. I could sit here and tell you I think this guy's really good. I did in the past with Josh Allen. Well, I was right. I thought DeShone Kizer would be really good. I was wrong. So if you think, and you're the Browns, you think somebody is worthy of the second pick in the draft, then you take him at quarterback because it solves your problems. And if you think McCarthy's better and Minnesota is interested in moving on from him, which I'd be surprised. But if they do, it's a no-brainer. You pick up the phone, you call your old buddy, and you make the trade.
So let me give you
evaluation though,
and I'll give you CBS's because again, I was leaning on CBS when we go to the draft, and it's been a while since we've had to worry about that, right? Totally.
Draft.
So you got Chris Trapasso and Ryan Wilson. Both are saying Ohio State's going quarterback at two. Both of those
Browns.
Guys are Browns. Yeah, what did I say?
Ohio State.
Oh, sorry.
By the way, you know, Ohio State might be able to pay more.
Really? To play or not to play? That is the question. They've got Shedeur Sanders and Jalen Milroe from Alabama. So those are the two. Trabasso has Jalen, and Ryan Wilson has Shedeur. And then you go to their other guys, Mike Renner and Josh Edwards, who do – I mean, this is what they do, right? They both like Abdul Carter. I are we going to be – Dan, are you and I on the Carter train for this whole thing? I can only go back as far as I just saw him play, and when Penn State was on the field, win or lose, he is around the ball every time, whether he's made tackle or is just about to make the tackle. The kid is a star.
I mean, well, you think.
At the level that he played at, he was a star. Is that fair? Is that a better assessment for you?
Well, the level J.J. McCarthy played at, he was a star quarterback.
I mean, you know where I sit. I'm Mason Graham, but at two, it's really hard to take a defensive tackle. I understand that. It's very hard to sell a defensive tackle at two. But, yeah, Abdul Carter would probably be there too. If they took Travis Hunter, I don't think I'd be heartbroken. I think the only way I would get mad is if they went and got a quarterback. I just don't see it. I'm sorry. I know that's not what people want to hear. I just don't see it.
Would you trade the second pick for J.J. McCarthy? Heavy sigh,
yeah,
big
that's
pause.
That's a doozy.
It is.
That's a doozy.
And again,
how healthy is his knee?
They say,
I know you don't know. You're not a doctor.
They say he's good to go. That he'll be okay for the start of the season. You know, is he more highly thought of by NFL teams than Sanders and Milroe and Cam Ward? That's the question. And if so, and there are a bunch of ifs. If so, and if Minnesota decides to sign Sam Darnold for multi-years, then they're going to move him. You know, I read a story last night that said, hey, this could be really bad news for teams that need a quarterback, and it was in the New York Post, like the Giants and the Cleveland Browns. So the folks in New York are clamoring for J.J. McCarthy, but they don't think they're going to get him because they don't necessarily think that Sam Darnold's going to get a deal in Minnesota.
I know one of the big complaints of Abdul Carter is people think he needs to put weight on.
Yeah, he does look a little long.
Looks a little thin, but
so
hey,
as I was watching, I thought that I'm like, he doesn't exactly look like Myles Garrett.
No,
but who does?
No, he's not. He's not the perfect sculpture of man. We'll put it that way. But like,
but then you start asking yourself when you look at a player, and sometimes their number can be deceiving.
Are you
know
going
what I'm saying?
With this theory?
I totally believe this. If you're wearing the number 11, you don't look as big as a guy who might be wearing 88.
Oh, you're skinny. Yeah.
It's like wearing black.
I'm telling you,
or vertical
it's totally.
Stripes to
yes,
look taller.
It's very psychological. It is.
What number would make you look the biggest?
Oh, anything that starts with nines.
Would it be 88?
So the threes do. The threes make you look big.
Oh, like 98. 40,
would 44 make you look wide?
You got to be a double number, first of all.
98, 99 are the sevens. The sevens are up there, too. You see like 77, and you're like, oh, that's going to be a big old boy.
Yeah, that you don't want to pay for dinner.
That's going to be, yeah, that's a gentleman. That's somebody that you refer to as sir.
Can you buy into that a little bit?
The number of theory?
Yeah, a little bit.
I've heard it kicked around before. I don't know. I haven't totally bought into this at any point, but I mean, I think Abdul Carter needs to put some weight on.
I don't know. Whenever
like,
I see.
I think we can put weight. I mean, good golly, we said the same thing about Evan Mobley, and 3 years later, here we are.
Hey,
I mean,
Trey Hendrickson needs to put on weight.
They said the same thing about.
And he's one of the best pass rushers in the NFL.
Oh, goodness. Lamar. They said the same thing about Lamar Jackson. He put some weight on. Now he has more muscle to him because Father Time helps you out.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know what happens? Guys get thicker as we get older.
Right. You gain muscle when you're that age,
well,
too.
Well, if you're lucky.
Yeah, well, that age, you gain muscle. Our age, less muscle.
Right, our age. Thank you for including us in the same little conversation.
Is it Kington or Kingston in Cleveland Heights? How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Good. Say your first name for me.
Kingpin.
Okay.
I don't know why that's so difficult.
Because I'm looking at it. It either looks like Kington or Kington. Anyway, what
Move
do you got
on.
For us?
You yes. got it.
Yeah.
You know, I first of all, let me start this off with I'm a Giants fan. And so we have a need for quarterback two. And I'm not crazy about the quarterbacks that are in this draft. But I've got to say the Giants and the Browns are in two different stratospheres right now in terms of what they want to do. The Giants aren't prepared to compete at a very high level next year. The Browns roster is. But when you take a look at the quarterback room, there's nobody in it. I don't understand the belly aching about whether or not to get a quarterback. I mean, I hear you
it's
guys.
It's where you get the quarterback. It's where are you getting a quarterback and what kind of a quarterback are you going to get?
Let me ask you this question.
I don't know.
Let me ask you this question.
Sure.
Who are you going to get?
Well, it depends on what they want. I mean, like, you want to bring in a free agent
or do you want plenty of options?
Do you want a college quarterback? That's where you're going. Let's say.
Well, it sounds like you want a veteran quarterback, right?
No. Well, truthfully, you want to ask me. I want them to bring in a veteran quarterback for a year. And then I want them to draft a guy, and I don't know if they have to do that with the number two pick. Appreciate the phone call. We're up against it. 216-474-0092. Daryl Ryder joins us next. Baskin and Phelps.